The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Depth Chart Podcast. My name is Freddie Maggard. I'll be your host today, somewhat. Nick does most of the hosting. But we appreciate you tuning in this morning. I'm joined by Nick Roush in Louisville. What's up, Nick?
How are we doing this morning? It was fun staying up late to watch college football without, you know, typing the night away in the press box. But I did not stay up to watch the end of the lightning delay in the Iowa-Nevada game. I think my under was safe, and it was. It was a very safe bet. So, but college football, a lot of fun. Really hurting for our guy John Summerall. Brutal loss in Boone. They had him on the ropes. But hey, we're not here to talk about what happened in Boone. We're here to talk about the Kentucky Wildcats and that 31-0 victory over Youngstown State. And we're doing it all thanks to our friends at Port Royal Plants. And Freddie, I got to try out some of the Kentucky Proud product made right there in Henry County up I-71. And so here's the thing. I'm an old man. I play in a Sunday night old man basketball league. It's bad. It's bad stuff. All I'm trying to do is just not get hurt. And Port Royal Plants really comes in clutch on those Sunday nights with their all-natural CBD balm that you can rub on your back, your knees, your joints, your muscles, any sort of thing like that. Port Royal Plants has got you covered. Visit them at portroyalplants.com. Big shout-out to them for sponsoring the Depth Chart Podcast. And, man, I'm fired up to talk a little ball this Sunday, Freddie. What did you like about the game, Freddie?
I like the final score, to be quite honest with you, and the defense. We're also joined by arguably the best fullback, the top three, I think. Definitely, I think the best fullback in Kentucky history, Andy Murray out of Northern Kentucky. Andy, what do you think about this new video element we got going with the podcast?
I like how it makes my head look so small. That's my favorite part. it's different, man. I'm not a makeup guy, so what you get is what you get.
Yeah, there you go. Kentucky, you know, 31-0 victory. Brad White continues to just impress. I mean, that defense is good. That defense is really good. But the one thing I really liked is a true freshman, Alex Safari, led the team in tackles. Just 0 for 10 on third down for Youngstown State. Kentucky completely dominated the football game from a defensive perspective. And we've seen 12 quarters of just excellent defense by Brad White, and the accolades just keep coming. Individually, Carrington Valentine, who – you know, got after him a little bit last year, is leading the SEC and leading the country in passes defended. That's a number Kentucky was dangerously low on last year. I didn't like losing the turnover margin at -1. The tackles for loss were way too many. 10 tackles for loss. I mean, Youngstown State is a FCS program. For me, the action across the line of scrimmage into the Kentucky backfield was far too frequent, meaning 4 quarterback sacks, 10 tackles for loss. I mean, that's got to get cleaned up. But listen, it is what it is. Kentucky won 31-0 off of excellent defensive performance and special teams. Can't forget about that. Had to block punt. Andy, I thought it was just a solid win. It was a noon kickoff. All the surroundings were about the Stoops celebration. A noon kickoff after you beat Florida. It was hot. You kind of saw this coming, really, but there was only one side of the football, in my opinion, that disappointed, and you still scored 31 points, but I'm not seeing much efficiency out of that offense through the first three games.
Well, I think yesterday was, first of all, my hat's off to the fans. I arrived about 10 o'clock, right as the start of the catwalk, and it felt like an afternoon game, a late afternoon game. The crowd was there early. The crowd packed the stadium. Yes. You know, and that's what, to me, that's the stuff that always worried me in recruiting in the past few years is they bring these big-time kids in and we'd have, you know, half the stadium empty just because it was a noon game. So my hat's off to the fans. I think finally the fans are buying into Stoops and what a good job he's doing. But as far as the offense goes, you know, I had a chance to listen to the OC's press conference this week, and that guy, I can't not wait to see him unleash this offense because I don't think he's shown us a whole lot. I mean, he's been very vanilla. The offensive line, you know, I'm not going to blame it on it's an FCS school and they're not fired up or whatever. They've got a mesh. I think Rodriguez will help us when he gets back in the running game because he's a lot of yak, you know, as you all know. I mean, I don't know how much yards after contact we're getting from this current backfield.
Right.
I haven't seen that number, but Rodriguez has always been, he'll bust through the line of scrimmage and break tackles. So I think it'll look a little different, but I think we've seen a third of the playbook, which excites me.
The thing that I would say too about the offensive line, I mean, can they just stay healthy? Well, guys, just come on. Let's wrap them in bubble tape. Yeah. They didn't have Tayshaun Manning Saturday. Jeremy Flax missed a couple drives as well when he went down with an injury. So it feels like the entire season they've been dealing with one or guy out or the other. And so it's been really a patchwork process. You know, so, but you mentioned Rich Gangarello. He had kind of tiptoed into this, but after the game, he delivered his message to the offense and it was, this is unacceptable. Yeah. We're better than this. You know, me as the optimistic guy, like I'm not going to be mad after a shutout win where you put up 31 points and 480 yards. But I mean, they left points on the scoreboard, right? You got another red zone turnover from Will Levis. You put the ball on the ground four times. You're fortunate to only lose it once. And then they also, I mean, they had to settle for a field goal late when you got the ball down on the 5-yard line. Like you should just be able to lean on it and push in the end zone. So, Rich said he was disappointed, and if things don't improve, it's going to be bad. And that was definitely a pointed message to his players. Like, all right, we've messed around long enough. We got to get it together. We got to play clean football. We can't have pre-snap penalties. He mentioned a couple runs in particular where it was set up perfectly for big plays, but then they get a false start, so the play never even materializes. There's a lot of just kind of starting and stopping. But Freddie, despite all of that, they actually did I thought Kentucky did a good job of keeping the pocket clean for Will Levis. I know he took four sacks, and it doesn't say that in the box score, but those four sacks he took, two of them, he had all the time in the world, and I just, like, one, I don't know what he was thinking, where he just decided he was going to start running, and it's like, just throw the ball, like, it's out there. But he made some amazing throws, 27 to 35, 377 yards, two touchdowns, two picks. You know, they said they'll live with the picks. They want him to play aggressively. And that's kind of, and I'm with him. Like, that's the price you pay. But man, when he's on and he's got time, he's fine. That naked boot, they've got to figure that out, though. That's like part of the stuff where it's like, all right, let's get the running game going. You've gotten much better at maintaining a pocket in time for Will Levis. And naked boot, though, that's a play that can be awesome, but they just can't get it figured out.
No, Youngstown wasn't biting on the bootleg action and just wasn't working. And football happens. I mean, you have to credit Youngstown for being sound defensively and maintaining the edge there, not over-pursuing the quarterback. I like Levis's performance, 77% completion rate. He needed that high completion rate gain. He got that.
At one point, Freddie, late in the fourth quarter, he had six incompletions and two of them two of them were caught by the other team. I mean, only four times it hit the ground. Yeah. That little throw he had where he got like happy feet and was falling backwards and just, I mean, it was a rocket. It reminded me of Freddie Maggard back in the day, Andy.
You know what? I was impressed. You know, my seats are at the Nutter Fieldhouse end of the stadium. And some of those balls that he threw were right in our face. And, man, his accuracy has improved, but his velocity is insane. And that the other thing, I don't recall any drops. Did you all see any drops, or were there any drops?
I didn't see a drop.
And there was 11 kids caught balls.
The two interceptions, I'm going to get into that a little bit.
Fullback.
Yeah, the first interception, I think, was a freshman receiver coming off that dig route. Got to get that defender on his hip a little bit. That was on both Levis and the pass catcher. The second interception was all on Will Levis, and that was all footwork. His feet, he rushed, he jumped into the throw. Instead of setting his feet, the ball sailed on him and got picked off. Now, listen, this year, as of right now, Kentucky is a top 10 team. The way I evaluate this team and discuss it on this podcast is if I'm looking at we're talking about a top 10 team in America. So, yeah, I'm a little bit tougher on my grades on this team because I expect a lot more. And I expect a lot more out of this offense. Now this is no excuse. And, Andy, you touched on it. And, Nick, you did too. There are so many offensive line combinations that are being rolled out there. A new guard here, a new tackle there, a new center. I still think communication is causing a lot of these problems for the offensive line. Youngstown did a lot what Miami of Ohio did, but more often. Show blitz dropped, twist stunts, all kinds of run blitz, pass blitz, just trying to create havoc at the line of scrimmage. And that's how I would go after this Kentucky team until that offensive line starts communicating at a higher level. But, Nick, you made a good point. The pocket, in my opinion, the four sacks is somewhat misleading because the pocket was there. I think Levis got cleaned up. Again, this is a first-round quarterback, so I'm going to grade him a little tougher. He's got to be better in the pocket. He has to have better awareness and move in the pocket instead of running towards the rush. But his off-platform throws against Youngstown State, I think we'll see those on draft night. You know, we're going to see some of those. And he is so good at that. But the passing game, I think Kentucky got a little frustrated, got a little flustered with all the tackles for loss. Now those tick me off.
Especially in the run game because – like
way too many.
I mean, Chris Rodriguez went the entire 2020 season without taking a tackle for a loss. You know, so like it's a little different than what we're used to. One throw, I think Will would have wanted back, Andy. He was rolling right, and he had Jordan Anthony deep, and he was getting a little pressure. But I think if he would have had it in his, looking back on film, I bet he wishes he planted his foot, stepped, and because he could have thrown that ball 65 yards. And not overthrown Jordan Anthony. He had his guy beat. Anthony didn't come back to the ball hard enough, so he didn't draw the PI. But that was one where it's like, man, I wish Levis would have just thrown it as far as he could have thrown it.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of – just seeing the ball game and the how we're spreading the field a little bit, I mean, it's
– Nope.
Spreading the field, there was a little – there you go.
I mean – back, Andy. Yeah, I mean, how soon we forget we didn't have a passing game.
Yeah.
Well, and how great, too, Freddie, is, like, I saw Ryan Lemond after the game, and I said, you know, how about Dane? He's like, it's old news now. This is an old hat, you know? And,
yeah.
But that kid is a ball player.
Yeah, he's eighth in the SEC in receiving, and that's tremendous for a true freshman. Will Levis third in the conference. I'm going to talk about this defense for a little bit. You know, listen, offense sells this podcast. I know that. But defense is where it's at, right? And this defense is the strength of this team along with quarterback. And those pass catchers are pretty dynamic. But 0 for 10 on third down, that is excellent. And this defense is, I think, is predicated on those two inside linebackers. Jaquez Jones, DeAndre Square are so good.
Freddie.
and they're at the right place, right time, doing the right thing, and they're fun and a joy to watch. And they were just smashing in the pocket, and the defensive front did their job. So complimentary football all across the board from Brad White's defense.
4-3 now to start the game. I mean, it was almost halftime by the time that Youngstown got a first down. Yeah, Andy.
Well, the defensive backfield, man. I mean, if that's a question mark, like they say going into the season, it's as good a defensive backfield as we've had. I mean, they didn't test us a whole lot throwing the football, but when they did, and just what's awesome to see too is just our team speed is insane. Just our closing on the ball. You know, if they do get a ball out to somebody, we've got 4, 5, 6 guys on the ball. Every tackle, it seems like. And I tell you, I watched the SEC show this morning, and there's Georgia, Alabama, and everybody else. I mean, we're as good. I wouldn't want to be an Auburn fan right now. No. You know, I mean, there's some huge opportunity for us. And Ole Miss looks good, but,
yeah,
you know, they're running the football. Good luck running the football on us. I don't know. It's exciting to see. And we are just playing so confident and smooth. So I'm excited. The defense is just setting the pace too. They are awesome. Awesome to watch.
Yeah. I think the Ole Miss's most difficult game is next week against, it's either Tulane or Tulsa. I got those teams mixed up with one another, but Georgia Tech's bad. They played a bunch of bad teams.
Well, Arkansas, I can't wait.
People love Arkansas, and Bobby almost handed them an L. They needed a punt return touchdown. They needed like 21 unanswered in the fourth quarter to get that.
Oh,
win.
Tell me you took the 25 points, Nick.
Did you? Oh, take man, I wish. The one that was it was, but it wasn't shocking, that result. Florida, Kentucky broke them, Freddie, the second straight year. Or maybe Florida's just bad and they're lucky to be 2-1. I mean, they needed some things to go their way late against Utah and USF at home to win.
Yeah. That, you know, again, in the era of the transfer portal, we don't know how good these teams are or aren't at the first of the season. We don't, it's just impossible. You add on the coaching change, that Florida's got some work to do.
You know what, though? I am ready to say that I think it's a Heisman year for Spencer Rattler. It wasn't last year, but I think it.
Yeah, that was my next point, that South Carolina, you know, they're going to have a big comeback because they may be out of the playoff race. And that's a tough blow to handle in Columbia. Guys, let's talk.
They'll still be preseason ranked 12th next year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about the defense after three games, because I think, you know, it's definitely, you know, along with Will Levis, the highlight. I'm going to give you some numbers here, guys, that jumped out of me this morning. Kentucky is allowing 9.7 points per game, 102 rush yards, 152 pass, 253 total. That's third in the SEC. Number one in the SEC and fourth in the nation, 17.5% on third down for the season. In three games, Kentucky's allowing opponents to convert 17.5% of all third downs.
That's comedy.
It's how do you like that, Andy? 40. I mean,
that, you know what?
How did we get to this point? I mean, what is Kentucky doing so good defensively that their opponents are just converting 17.5% on third down?
Well, it's our line of scrimmage. I mean, you know, J.J. Weaver goes down yesterday. We don't miss a beat. And I forget what point in the game he actually went out. But
it was early.
We're too deep, and we're rotating guys, and everybody's fresh. I mean, if you're going three and out, you know, and your longest drives are 6-7 plays, I mean, your defense is golden all four quarters. And that's, to me, that's going to be the thing that pays the biggest dividend for us as the year builds on, is having that defense fresh, you know, and not having a lot of, I don't know how many plays they get a game. We used to track that when we were players. But, I mean, you start thinking about saving plays over the course of the year, and then you get into these big games late in the year, and you have a lot of legs. You have a lot of guys that are playing and not hurt. Nickel and dime little injuries probably don't come into play as much. but it's our line of scrimmage, no doubt about it. The line of scrimmage and the linebackers are we're deep all the way across, and it's just that's the biggest difference. I mean, we've always had decent defense, but we've never been this deep. And we just don't drop off. You can't even tell when the second unit's in.
Yeah.
Or the second rotation. You can't even tell when they're in the ball game. There is no drop off. Well, and that's SEC.
The third down in particular too, Freddie. Kentucky isn't getting a lot of sacks, but the run defense is so good that teams are afraid to run it. Like if you've got third and four or five, that's too much, right? Like they might try on third and two or something like that.
Yeah.
But they're not going to do it on third and medium. So they've been trying to go after guys like Carrington Valentine, and Carrington Valentine's just like laughing at him, like, okay, keep trying to throw at me.
I think also Kentucky defensively is very efficient on first down, first and second down, because they're tackling so well. This team is a very strong tackling team defensively. And what that does, it sets up third and awkward downs. I think Kentucky's putting – opposing offenses in a lot of awkward third down situations. Only giving up, Nick, 3.6 yards per carry. So that scenario you just talked to, if it's third and four or five, I mean, Kentucky's doing work on first down, making third downs more difficult, puts offenses in an awkward position of, do we throw the ball? Do we run the ball? But if you're only allowing 3.6 yards per carry, Kentucky's shutting that down. Nick, I got a question for you. From your viewpoint on Saturday. The Kentucky defense we've talked about and we love played with juice Saturday, in my opinion, right? I mean, you could feel that. For me, through the television, you could feel the passion, the juice. You could tell that Kentucky had an edge on defense. Offense, this is the second home game I've seen that Kentucky just did not have that edge on offense. I mean, just didn't have the pop, didn't have the urgency. I mean, just didn't look like that to me. Are you seeing a trend here, or do you think that Saturday against Youngstown was more of a circumstantial occurrence given the offensive line situation as far as new players rotating in and out, come out the Florida win? Why are we seeing such a difference in the offense and defense as far as juice?
It's up front. It's up front because you're dealing – I mean, there's just drive-stalling negative plays, and it's because of a lack of communication up front, right? We heard a lot of good things about Eli Cox in the preseason. Well, we need to start seeing them.
Yeah. I mean,
plain and simple. Because a lot of the responsibility falls on the center's shoulders for making sure that everybody's in order. And when they had those drives stalled out, I mean – Kentucky, that first play of the game, Freddie, I mean, it was easy. They made it look easy. And then after that, it just – things sort of stalled out because they didn't have their stuff together. And they really need to get it together, clean it up, secure up that offense. And I think they could definitely get some help from our friends at KLW Handmade Belts. I mean –
tighten it up a little bit.
Yeah, they really need to tighten things up, secure things up with – yes. KLW Handmade Belts. It's another great Kentucky proud product. Just handmade right here. Handmade leather. Freddie, I never noticed a difference in handmade leather versus the cheap stuff until I got my hands on a KLW belt. And now, cats are 3-0 for the first time, fourth time in the Mark Stoops era, because I'm rocking my custom-made brass-plated KLW belt. Visit them at klwbelts.com. Man, I sound like such a hick when I say KLW Belts. 859-509-7816 is the number. No synthetics, padding, or backing. Just solid leather. Check them out. Give them a call. 859-509-7816 or head to klwbelts.com.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's dive into some offensive numbers because – you know, I'm 3-for-3, three wins in a row wearing my KLW belt. So I'm going to wear it to sleep now because it's my lucky belt. Let's look at this offense a little bit. 10th in the SEC in scoring at 31 points a game. I think this is where, you know, Mark Stoops has frustration because of the tackles for loss, in my opinion. Sacks are going to happen. We've talked about Levis getting more pocket awareness of the pocket. But running the football, Kentucky is 13th in the SEC at 74.3 yards per game. What's even more disturbing, 2.2 yards per carry. Again, we've all said it. Everybody said it. Chris Rodriguez will fix some of these woes. I get that. But I also have to go back to how some folks thought that with the depth in the running back room, which we don't have now, not having Rodriguez wouldn't be a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big deal mentally. It's a big deal on the play call sheet. And we'll see that improve. Passing, Kentucky's fourth in the league. So it's a little bit different look for this Kentucky team. 294 yards a game. Nick, what I like, 9.7, almost 10 yards per pass attempt. Big difference when you're looking at numbers at pass attempt and pass.
For completion, yeah. Yards
per attempt is what I look at. Anything over 8, Andy, is good. Kentucky sitting at 9.7, almost 10 yards per 368 total yards a game. That's 11th in the league. 5.7 yards per play. Third down. I got one more, Nick. Two more.
Okay.
And then you all can chop this up.
Because I think you're about to share the one that I'm disgusted by.
I talked earlier. The tackles for loss is, in my opinion, the most disturbing. Kentucky's already given up 19 in three games. Two more numbers that I think scream inefficiency when I'm evaluating. Third down completion percentage, 38%. Kentucky was hovering right around 50 last year, 50% on third down. Again, you have Rodriguez, he moves the chains, but 38%, that's not very good, and that has to get cleaned up. And then red zone touchdowns. Kentucky's
here we go. Hold up, Freddie. Let me cut you off because I want to ask Andy. 16 times Kentucky's been in the red zone. How many times have they turned into touchdowns, Andy?
Less than half.
Close.
Eight out of 16. And Freddie,
that's gonna haunt us.
Yeah,
that will haunt us.
We need somebody like Andy Murray back there just getting his nose dirty and freaking steamrolling.
I think you can, you know, Freddie touched on it. I lost you guys for 5 minutes there before y'all were talking, but you mentioned, you know, having Cox at center, he's a new center. Yeah. Any defensive coordinator in his right mind playing against us right now is going to run stunt up front against our young line. I mean, because they know their communication is bad. I mean, look at who we replaced. I mean,
we've had
two of the best. Well, we've had two of the best centers in school history.
Yeah.
The last two centers we've had, you know, defenses, they frustrated defenses because they couldn't stun on us, you know, because of our centers and their communication was so good. I mean, this kid is a great player, but, you know, that's like anything else. Experience, you know, you can't throw a kid into a Division I football game and expect him to be perfect in game three when he is trying to line the whole offensive line out. So that's going to get better. You know, and like I said last week, I mean, we've recruited well up front ever since Stoops has been here. He's never really put an offensive line on the field that we were disappointed in, you know, that wasn't tough, that wasn't physical. We're just dealing with some youth right now. You know, and the communication is what it is. Any DC that's worth his salt is going to come after this offensive line. If he's not, he should not be a Division I defensive coordinator. Look at Brad White. What he does to people. I mean, he frustrates people to no end, and he finds their weaknesses. And it's coaching 101. I mean, people are going to go after our weakness. Right now, our weakness is our offensive line. It will get better because we've recruited to it. I mean,
because Stoops said it's going to get better. He said, don't panic. He said, we've had this before, and I believe him. I mean, listen, I trust the dude. He's won more than anybody. So when he says it, I believe it. But still, you know, we have to evaluate this stuff, Andy. And I agree. What I saw Youngstown do was smart. If you noticed, a lot of times Youngstown played an even front and had that linebacker walked up, standing up over top of the center. So, you know, what are we going to do here? Or is the linebacker coming? Is the linebacker going to drop? Then if he drops, then you're going to have a twist up front. I mean, there was a lot of movement that Kentucky didn't, that picked up some, but not a lot. But Nick, I think Youngstown played Kentucky perfectly defensively and got some frustration, especially with the tackles for loss.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the big bugaboo. But you know what? It's, I do like when you have these games where there's plenty of teach tape out in a big win. And yep. Kentucky, if you were a better, you probably got them at 30.5. So the Cats even covered. First shutout since 2009, thanks to some heroics from Carrington Valentine in the end zone, like to do it against Bryce Oliver. The fourth down one that wasn't an interception might have even been a more impressive play because that looked like a touchdown, and he just ripped it out at the last minute. He was outstanding. It was outstanding, as Andy said, to see all the fans there. Pre-game, we had Heroes Day with the flag, the helicopter flyover. That was great. And then the ceremony with the Stoopses and all his family. Just really cool to see him all together, for him to have that moment with his family. I know it meant a lot to him. And I know it could mean $1 million for one of you listeners out there right now, right? You could be on the field before the South Carolina game or during, I think it's at halftime. I'm not quite sure. Thanks to our friends at Eckrich. They're proud to present the $1 million challenge for teachers. They're partnering with the Extra Yards for Teachers in Kroger to invite a local teacher from for the South Carolina game October 8th. They're going to be randomly selected. Submit your teacher's name at Eckrich.com. You'll find the link under the football tab. All you got to do is this teacher is going to have to hit a target to win up to $1 million in donations for their classroom. So get your teacher signed up now at Eckrich.com for an awesome ceremony for that Kentucky-South Carolina game, where I'm sure the Cats will be 21-point underdogs because South Carolina is the greatest team to ever score only one touchdown against Georgia.
All right, I'm going to talk about two more numbers here defensively that makes the third down conversion ratio that much more impressive. Nick, Andy, Kentucky is seventh in the SEC with only a six quarterback sack. Kentucky's 10th in the league with just 12 tackles for loss, yet third in the conference in total defense at 253 yards a game. So, I mean, that's just amazing. We said earlier how the offense, the numbers we provided screams inefficiency. Those two numbers, given the overall results about this defense, screams efficiency, right? This is just a defense that's getting after it, Nick Roush. I've said it since day one. I've been on the Brad White fan club since day one, and, man, he is just getting it done, man.
Yeah, and it's classic Stoops because you don't have to have a lot of havoc to be successful. Like Andy, they're just keeping everything in front of them and then allowing like no yards after the play. It's impressive.
Well, and the other thing too is our size up front. Jeez, old Pete. I mean, that's got to be giving the quarterbacks a fit, you know, even at pre-snap. I mean, we are just massive across the front. I mean, when they look huge from the 30th row, I mean, that's saying something. And the other thing, Brad, if you listen to – I love listening to Brad White's players talk because they are all students of the game. He makes them so they know their opponent. I mean, and that's just film study, and that's respect for him because those kids are responding to what he's teaching. Yeah. And he's got them believing because they're all, you know, putting in the extra time. And that's – at the end of the day, I mean, you got to have the players – but you got to have everybody on the same page, and you got to have that belief. And these guys, man, you talk about an organization that's all going in the same direction. That defense, one and two deep, is all on the same page, and that's huge. I mean, that's you always hear about teams that are struggling, and they have issues in the locker rooms, meeting rooms, players don't like each other, blah. You know, all these different things that go on. This guy is going to be an awesome head coach because his players – are buying into everything he's telling. And the guy's great. I mean, his demeanor, but his players, if you listen to him in interviews, I mean, they know exactly what their opponent's doing and or what they did. And it's because of him and getting them to believe in what he's doing. And their pregame preparation is just off the charts. It's great. And you'll see that from the offense. Like I said, That offense is just trying to gel. They're young. That defense has played together for a while, especially up front, and they're all believers.
And yeah, Brad Nick, White. I'm gonna put this in context and add a little perspective to the Kentucky defense in 2022. Corey Price, who does just such a great job. Andy, this will speak to you as well. Kentucky football has held each of their first three opponents of the season to under 300 yards of total offense for the first time since Andy Murray's senior year at Kentucky in 1989. And Andy, you and I went up against that defense when it was healthy, and they were some dudes over there. So
yeah,
that just goes to show you how
his well there was NFL talent, and yeah. I'm not so sure every kid on our first 11 doesn't get a shot in the NFL.
Right.
You know, really in our first 22, we have NFL talent again. And we talked about that back in the early days of this podcast when Stoops first got here, you know, back in the when they started getting some decent recruits, and we always talked about that is we just didn't have NFL players for too long of a period.
Right.
And now, I mean, this defense is loaded with NFL players.
Yeah.
And the offense, you know, we've got some NFL receivers, yeah, but they're young, but that defense is loaded with NFL talent.
Yeah, you know, I tweeted on Saturday, enjoy Deion Walker for the next 3 years because he's out there. Nick Roush, yeah. Andy brought up something that I'm going to get to you. Then we're gonna fly back up to 35,000 feet and look at this team as a whole. Nick, I've been doing this a long time. Andy and I, you know, played together in the 80s. I've never seen a position room flip 180 like the Kentucky.
Yeah.
I mean, I've not seen that much improvement in one position group so quickly as a couple of years ago. I mean, it was as bad as you could think, right? I mean, no separation, no burst, very little threat of a pass. And now your three starters are pros and two of them are true freshmen. And behind those three starters are some dudes that can fly. And oh, by the way, we forget about DeMarcus Harris, who nearly scored a touchdown. Nick, talk about that wide receiver room and how it's changed so quickly for Kentucky.
It's weird. It's almost like recruiting matters. Yeah, recruiting. It's a big deal. Kentucky put an emphasis on speed. They were fortunate enough to have a guy like Dane Key grow up, you know, right down the road with a dad who went to UK. So that certainly helps too. But also transfer portal success, right? I remember when the transfer portal rule came into place and there's a lot of Kentucky fans who just live in constant paranoia. Whoa, they're going to take all of our good players. It's like, no, 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 no. Kentucky's going to take other teams' good players because Mark Stoops has created a good culture that makes players want to play in it. And when Wandale Robinson came back home, he showed the blueprint for others. Tavion Robinson has been he's not Wandale, but he's been outstanding. And so now you see when there's a proof of concept, that applies not only on the high school recruiting trail, but also in the transfer portal trail. And it's worked out like gangbusters. And you're going to see that this offseason too, when Kentucky's looking for a quarterback, it's going to be really easy to find one in the transfer portal because there's so many talented wide receivers that he's going to have at his disposal next year.
I think you got to give it up to the coaching too. I mean, these kids are running great routes. They're catching the ball away from their body. They're snatching it out of the air. And that's something that we haven't seen. I mean, we've seen receivers that let the ball get to their bodies and bounces off their shoulder pads and whatnot. And these kids just, they run great routes and they catch it clean. And I think the big word would be confidence. I think the confidence is just watching that key run around on the field. I mean, the kid plays with confidence and he's a freshman. I mean, that's just crazy to me, but that he will bring guys with him and he's just one example, but I think there's just an air of confidence in that room, and I think confidence comes from knowledge. So yeah, the coaching has to be pretty good in that room.
All right, let's just put the Youngstown State victory to bed here. A couple sentences, starting with you, Nick. Give me your two-sentence take on the Cats 31-0 win.
Love a good shutout. Shout out to the defense. They're carrying this team while the offense figures itself out. There's a lot to like about the offense. Next week is the final tune-up to get things firing on all cylinders against Northern Illinois. You've got things going in the right direction. Now put it all together against Northern Illinois.
Andy. All right. No, Andy, I'll go. Okay. Andy, a couple sentences on the final, your final thoughts on Youngstown.
Good, you know, good, clean football. I watched the game with the high school coach that coached here at Simon Kenton, Jeff Marksberry, and we just talked the whole time during the game about what a joy it is to watch good, clean, solid football. Good tackling, blocking, scheme, everything. Things will come together as the year goes on. Like I said, we've recruited well. The players develop, and this team will look totally different in the second half of this season.
I'm going to go with not panicked. Frustrating yet productive offense led by an absolute dude at quarterback and exciting pass catchers. Dominant defense, extremely well coached, efficient. Third phase, got it done. Block punt, solid. That's my final take on Youngstown. Now let's get to 35,000 feet. Let's look at this Wildcat team as a whole, with a body of work of three games. Don't want to look too far ahead. Northern Illinois, who's their opponent? Northern Illinois. Okay, lost to Vanderbilt by 10. So let's just look at this team and tell me what your take is on the 2022 Wildcats after three games. Nick Rauch.
They are kind of who we thought they were. Really need the running game to get going, though. I mean, that's still just too inefficient in the run game. Once that happens, Will Levis has – I think he's – I'm not going to say he's taken the step, but he's moving – everything we wanted to see from him in the offseason, he's going in that right direction – thanks to some talented wide receivers. So I like where Kentucky's at right now. But Northern Illinois, I mean, they gave up like 40 points to Vandy. UK should be able to drop a 60 burger next week. Like, I want to see that. I want to see the running game pop a few big runs. And just to give you a little confidence going into that Ole Miss game.
Andy.
I'm just going to go back to the talent and the depth. And the development, man, this team is just going to continue to get better. I think it's hilarious that we're sitting here talking about a 3-0 team that's not played well. it's awesome to think that the things that we are critiquing, that if we could all just blink and go back a few years, 5 years, 6 years, and think about some of the frustrations. I mean, this team just needs to gel. We have all the pieces in place. They just need to come together a little bit more. Obviously, defense, you know, keeping them off the field. Which is going to benefit us long term. They're getting less snaps, which is great. We've had teams that had the defense had all the snaps, so that doesn't work out well. So I just think everybody be patient and watch this thing gel. It's going to be fun.
Am I fair, guys, to grade Kentucky on a higher curve because they're top 10? We're near 10 of Mark Stoops, and we expect this team to be good, right? Am I fair to do that?
Yeah, you certainly are. I mean, it's no fun to think everything's all candy and roses after you shut out an FCS team. Like, yeah. you should always want more.
I'm going to end this podcast on my take here, guys. I think Kentucky defensively can win football games for you. I think Will Levis has proven that he can take over a football game and win that for you. Not panicked about this offensive line. I think it'll work itself out. I trust Stoops when he says it's going to, because he's earned my trust many times. So I think, you know, we're grading this team at a higher level because we expect more out of this team because there's so much talent there and so much potential. But this is, you know, Andy said it best. Kentucky's 3-0 and not played real well on offense for the majority of those three games. But that defense can win you games, and that is a testament to recruiting and development and coaching by Brad White and his staff. But anyway, thank you all for listening to the Depth Chart Podcast and watching now, Andy. We got video, and our enormous craniums are all over the deck. So
that's why I put that tree in the background to kind of help me.
Yeah, I don't have anything to take away from my head, and it just looks large. Your little Jaguar logo looks like a pencil drew it in there. It's so small. And Nick, what's going on with your hat, man? Is that an Eastern Michigan hat?
No, East Mississippi Lions.
Oh,
East Mississippi Community College, home of Zadarius Smith. You like that?
Oh, man.
I like that. Well, thank you all for listening. I hope you like this podcast. Download it and follow us. We'll be back next Sunday after Kentucky plays Northern Illinois. So go Cats, go Kroger.
See you guys.
See ya.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.